to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, and the Dallas Mavericks made quite a splash in the offseason with some of their aggressive moves and reloaded roster. Earlier this week, I had an opportunity to visit with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle, get his thoughts on the upcoming season, the addition of Chandler Parsons, the return of Tyson Chandler, and what it is going to take to make a deep run. Also, one of the big question marks coming into the season is managing Dirk's minutes, and we visited with Rick about his recent excursion to Germany to attend the premiere and the new documentary and film on Dirk.
Yeah, it was great. A group of people from the organization went. A few of our players, Monte Ellis went, Devin Harris went, their wives went, Michael Finley, myself, a lot of people from the business part of it that are close with Dirk, et cetera, et cetera. So we had about 40 or 50 people on the team plane and went over, and it was a terrific experience. I expected that the movie was going to be good, but it surpassed all my expectations. It was great. It's in a very, very unique format. The movie's called Nowitzki, The Perfect Shot, or in German, Der Perfekt Wurf. That's how you say it in German.
Das ist so gut, ja.
Yeah. But there's no narrator in the movie. It's carried by interviews, and it just sequentially works, and it's very very creatively done, and it was terrific, and it's a great chronicling of not only Dirk's basketball life, but the people that have been important in his life, his relationship with Holger Gershwinder, his family, and virtually all of his basketball experiences. So it was really cool.
It highlights the player-coach relationship between, as you said, between Holger and Dirk. But this is going to be your seventh year to serve as Dirk's head coach, and you've had the opportunity to play and to coach truly some of the elite players in the league and be a part of that. Where do you see Dirk in terms of just the mark that he has made within the NBA?
Well, I see him as one of the top 10 or 12 all-time greatest players for a few reasons. I've pointed this out before. He's one of 12 guys that has been a 10-time All-Star, League MVP, and Finals MVP. That's pretty exclusive company there. Now he's number 10 all-time in scoring. Depending on his health and how he feels, he's got the ability to play some more years and to play very effectively, because of his style of play and just the elements of his game that have such a positive effect on our team. So, I put him up there with the all-time greats. I don't think there has been, any other superstar in that sort of class that has had to carry the load of the franchise as much as he has had to individually. The guys that I played with in Boston, Bird, Mikhail Parrish, those guys are great players, Hall of Famers, but they were all on the team together. There were four or five Hall of Famers on that team, for a number of years, and Dirk just hasn't had that luxury. And so in many ways, I consider his accomplishments to be even greater than some of those guys, and that's not taking anything away from, those guys as players, because they were all great.
Dirk is 36. He's a 16-year pro, and obviously one of the questions that you were asked about during Media Day on Monday is managing his minutes. Is there a magical number that you'd like to try to hit so that he is fresh in those late-game situations?
Well, we'd like to keep it you know, in the 30-minute range. If we could keep it under that, that would be fantastic. You know, we'll see. We'll see. He's worked extremely hard this summer. He's feeling good. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things. You know, there's going to be games he plays a few more. There's going to be games he plays a few less. We'll just have to work through it. But the big thing is, in the big picture, you know, if we can keep him, you know, at or below that 30 threshold, you know, that's going to keep a veteran player like him fresh, you know, for the whole season. And then, you know, our plans are we want to be really good and get to the playoffs and go far, you know. So you want to have enough in the tank once you get there to continue to move forward.
Well, chemistry, of course, builds championships. And obviously on this trip, one of the blessings was having an opportunity to spend more time with your players. Obviously, Dirk and Devin, they have a special relationship from years past. But the fact that Monte Ellis carved out time out of his schedule to make the trip, I mean, it really showcases just how they've blended and bonded as teammates. And that's going to pay dividends on the floor and translate on the court.
Yeah, I totally agree. Monte loves it here. Him playing with Dirk has been a great situation for both players. And so, you know, we want to make this a long-term thing with him. You know, he's got 1 year left on his contract, and he has a player option. And so we'll see what happens with all that. But those two guys really fit well together. You know, Dirk's the guy that has to be guarded everywhere on the floor, that creates space for a guy like Monte, who's probably the best in basketball at getting the ball into the paint. So they complement each other very well.
Well, you definitely like to continue to build on that equity. So let's take time now to preview the 2014, the 2015 season. And listening to you, Mark, and Donnie, I mean, you really get a sense that there's great anticipation coming into this year, that you guys have a certain look in your eye that it could be something really special.
Well, I look forward to every year. So I approach them the same. I think there's more excitement this year having Tyson Chandler back here because he was part of our championship year, and he's a guy that, you know, for a 1 year player, I mean, he's as well thought of as any 1 year player that I've ever been around or seen with a franchise, you know, over my 30 or 31 years. So that's created a lot of good feeling, and it should, you know. But we're one day into this, and we got 28 days, and then we open up at San Antonio. We're looking forward to it.
Well, you certainly have a lot of depth, but also on this roster, you have six players that have been starters on other teams. Is this truly a team that could take you perhaps to the promised land, like in 2011?
Well, we like the depth of the team, and I don't get into predictions or, you know, predicting numbers of wins or any of that kind of stuff. It goes without saying, pretty much our goal is to win a championship every year. Our mission this year is, you know, we want to be positioned better than we were last year headed into the playoffs. You know, we want to get a home court if we can. You know, so if we're in a game seven like we were last year, we want to be on our home floor. So there's a lot of work to do between now and then to put ourselves in that position. But those are the kinds of goals that we have.
Okay, so obviously at the forefront of your mind, the first day of training camp was a defensive type of practice. How do you construct and build a defensive type of team and get these guys to buy in on the defensive end?
Well, we pointed out the importance of it in our meeting the night before camp, which was last night. And if you look at the stats, it's pretty clear that if you are not a top 10 defensive team, your chances of going far are very limited, unless you're just a fantastic offensive team. And, you know, last year we were somewhere around 20, 21, 22 in defense for the season. We were great on offense, so that mitigated a lot of our defensive challenges. But this year, on paper, we're better defensively, and we've got to take what we have and build it to a higher level. And we're going to have to be good on offense again. If we do that, we'll have a chance to go further.
Okay, you said you were below average defensively in the 20. Could you be a top five, a top 10 team defensively?
Well, we believe it's possible. And a lot of it is just, you know, if we focus in on it and make it a priority, you know, from the very first day of practice, you know, we'll have a chance to get better and better. if we leave it hanging out there as this sometime thing that we're going to sometimes talk about or sometimes be serious about, we're not going to be nearly as good. So it's a priority for us.
You know, to illuminate on that point, I think back to the San Antonio series. In the first five games, the Spurs were obviously a very efficient team, but they were averaging 25.2 points at the end of the shot clock. In game six, you guys held them to 23, and it just really was a great testament to, if you really lock in on things defensively, I mean, you're going to advance.
Well, and in that case, it illustrates the slim margins between winning and losing. And, you know, for instance, San Antonio has been the best team in the last few years of continuing to play, if you defend them well, the first 15, 20 seconds of the shot clock. And they were scoring a lot of points in the last 6 seconds. And as you mentioned, in game six, we took them down 2 points, and that was the difference between winning and losing. And so, you know, that's what we're talking about. And that's, again, that's the defensive end, so that's why it's so important.
Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue with our conversation with the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle and discuss his retooled roster and the addition of Tyson Chandler and the impact he can make on the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, look, this guy is Mr. Excitement. He's Mr. Energy. You know, I mean, he is got the great body language. You know, he's always up. He's always into it. He's always saying, hey, you know, keep pushing us, keep pushing us. He's just one of those kind of guys. And look, it's hard to find those guys. So that's why we're so thrilled to have him back. And but at the same time, you know, what he does in the locker room has got to become contagious, and we got to have other guys pick up on it. Otherwise, just having one guy doing that stuff is not going to get you over the hump.
What kind of influence can he have on Brandon Wright and kind of bring out a little bit more on for Brandon on the defensive end?
I think he can help everybody. And, you know, Brandon's worked hard again in the offseason. He continues to get stronger every year. So, you know, he's going to be a little better this year just from another year of experience, another year of strength work and stuff like that. He'll be fine. But, again, you know, Tyson Chandler's not going to be the guy that's going to change guys into new players. But what he brings is an intangible chemistry element that's really important to – you know, having a team that can really build that chemistry. But today's day one, and this afternoon's practice two. Tomorrow will be practice three, and we got to just keep going along day to day.
What are your expectations for Jay Crowder this year? I had a chance to catch up with him yesterday, and he's dropped weight. I mean, he's lost like 10 pounds. And from our conversation, he had shared that you'd spent some time with him, I guess, in Vegas and also here, just working one-on-one, getting him refined and ready for the upcoming season.
Yeah, and, you know, he's a guy that now has 2 years of experience under his belt. He's had significant minutes. And, you know, he's a multi-position player who's high energy. He's tough. He's one of our better defenders. His shooting continues to improve. It's so important nowadays to have energetic guys on the court, tough guys on the court. And so you check things off on the list. The things he does checks off a lot of things on the list. So we're going to need him. You know, Aminu is going to be an important guy because he's athletic and he can rebound and defend. Richard Jefferson's going to be another guy that's going to help our team a lot. Chandler Parsons has been a terrific acquisition for us. We're going to need him to play a great all-around game and continue to get better with, you know, his defense, his understanding of our system, his shooting, all those kinds of things. And, you know, it's an exciting time of year.
It certainly is. And obviously one of the biggest storylines coming into this season is the depth that you have at the point guard position. You've got a lot of options. And what do those guys need to do to separate themselves and to be anointed as your starting point guard?
Well, it's not that big a deal as who starts. The important thing is we develop the right chemistry and the right formula for us. The guys finishing the game are probably more important than the guys starting the game. But, you know, Nelson, Felton, Harris, all three of those guys are going to play for us. At times, some of those guys, you know, Felton may play off the ball some. Nelson may play off the ball some. Harris is good playing off the ball, playing with the ball. you know, we need attackers and we need energetic guys with experience, and those guys are all good.
Well, Devin Harris was so significant, his play and his impact in game one against San Antonio last year. I mean, he came off the bench, 19 points. I mean, he can be a real difference maker when he's healthy.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree. Yeah, no, he's an important guy. And, you know, this year he starts off healthy on day one, which you know, we believe is going to really help. Because he had a terrific last couple of months of the season last year after he finally got healthy and got his conditioning where it needed to be. And he worked extremely hard because he had a very unusual surgical thing done to his foot. And, you know, it's just, you know. And he was a big priority for us with our free agency signing, so it's great to have him back.
Well, obviously one of the biggest acquisitions in the free agency signing was having Chandler Parsons come on board. I mean, he really, from my impressions of him, he seems mature beyond his years. I mean, he's only 25.
Really?
Absolutely. Yes, very self-assured.
That's interesting.
I thought so.
He's got you conned a little, I think.
Oh, he's very charming.
Yeah, he's very charming.
Yeah,
very charming.
It's the charisma, right?
All the ladies like Chandler, yes.
Well.
Don't get sucked into that.
Well, I'm old enough to be his mom, so.
I don't know about that.
Let's talk about the thing I like about Chandler is the fact, I mean, we know about his offensive skill set, but defensively, I mean, he seems like he really wants to get after it.
Well, he's talking like that, which is good. But, you know, we all got a lot of work to do to get to where we need to be defensively. And I've seen him have some real effective stretches against some of the better players in the league. But, you know, that position is hell in this league. I mean, you're playing against guys like Durant, LeBron James, and, you know, and it's just, you know, Carmelo Anthony. It's just murder trying to stop those guys. And that's why you got to build a good defensive system. And a guy like Chandler, and, you know, Crowder's a good defender, and Aminu, I mentioned, those guys are going to have to do their job within the system to really help us. But, hey, look, getting Parsons was huge for us because he's a young guy. He's a young kind of core piece, you know, for our team going forward. And we needed to get the team younger.
My final question for you is, what do you think about the layout of the schedule and how it unfolds?
You guys get to eat.
I've only looked
schedule?
At the first two games, so okay. I can't tell you beyond that. But I know our back-to-backs are reasonable. That helps with a veteran team. And look, even when you look at it and you have a bad schedule, and say, well, God, I can't believe how hard this stretch of it is. Mm-hmm. Once you get into it, you know, generally it ends up being a little different than you thought. So I'm not that much into schedule analysis unless we get one that really sucks. Then I'll complain about it. I think it'll be good for us.
That, of course, was the Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You join us online at Twitter at @eRadioSports, and we will be right back. Time now at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, for some NFL news and notes. And we always look forward to visiting with the legendary NFL coach Dan Reeves, who spent a total of 23 years in the league as a head coach. He had a 16-year career with the Dallas Cowboys, 5 as a player, 3 as a player coach, and 8 as an assistant. And did you know that Dan Reeves owns the distinction of participating in more Super Bowls, that a total of 9, than any other individual in NFL history? Good evening, Dan. It's nice to have you back.
Lisa, how you doing? It's great to be on with you.
Wonderful. Well, we've invited you back on the show. We want to get your thoughts on a number of the teams around the league, of course, the Cowboys and the Broncos. But first of all, we want to, from Yahoo Sports Radio, just extend congratulations to you on your recent induction into the Broncos Ring of Fame that was well-deserved. Two former Bronco icons, Gene Mingo and Rick Upchurch, went in on that very special day.
Well, it's just a reflection, really, of, as a head coach, you know there's an awful lot of people that are responsible for you being able to receive that award. You know, it starts with ownership, and Edgar Kaiser hired me there as the head coach, and then when Pat Bowlen took over, continued to keep me there as a head coach. I was fortunate enough to be there 12 years, 2 great owners, and then it, you know, goes right on down from there to front office people and a lot of great secretaries, a lot of great, you know, front office people that helped us, you know, reach the heights that we did. And then you have coaches that certainly had a huge part in it, and you got to have surround yourself with great players. So just an awful lot of people that, you know, I realized when I was inducted that, you know, there's a lot of people that I owed an awful lot to, and really appreciate, you know, all the people that I was fortunate enough to work with.
Did you have an opportunity to catch up with John Elway when you were out there?
Yes, I did. You know, of course, John doing a great job there as the general manager, and you know, got to spend some time. You know, when you win over 100 games, he was one of the big ones.
Sure.
That was responsible for, you know, being able to receive that award. And, you know, John and I, you know, were able to touch base again for the first time in a long time, and it was great to, you know, great to visit with John and be with him.
We are talking to Dan Reeves, the former head coach of the Denver Broncos, tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show, of course, spent 23 years as a head coach in the NFL with the Broncos, the Giants, and the Atlanta Falcons. And I got to ask you, I mean, the last team you coached was the Falcons in 97. Dan, what do you miss the most about coaching?
Well, it's the camaraderie that you have with coaches. You know, you are in the trenches with them every single day, and then the relationships that you have with the players. And, you know, it's just, you know, you can't simulate the type of competition that you receive by playing and coaching in the National Football League. I can play golf all day and never will come close to getting that same feeling that I did when that national anthem is played and your heart starts racing, you know, getting ready to play an NFL game.
You talk about the relationships, that camaraderie with your players, but what is the one thing that you don't miss, Dan?
Well, releasing people. I think any coach or CEO will tell you the worst thing about your job is having to make decisions that affect, you know, people's lives, and it's not just the players, his family and everybody. You know, and a lot of times, you know, as a head coach, you're releasing a player that has really helped you, you know, win a lot of football games and, you know, been an integral part of your organization, and all of a sudden you got to come in and tell him you're going to go in a different direction. And, you know, the salary cap has, you know, made that even more difficult because it used to be, you know, just based on talent, you know, who could you find that was going to replace somebody from a talent standpoint. Now they add the salary cap to it and, you know, how much money they're making, all kind of things enter into it now. And it's done the year round. It used to be just in training camp. And through preseason, you know, you'd have to make those decisions, but now it's year-round.
You know, Dan, when you step back and you review the past 10 to 15 years in the league, what stands out the most in your mind that has changed? I mean, we've obviously seen an offensive renaissance that has taken place. I mean, how do you view that?
Well, there's no question that the rules have definitely gone to help the offense. You know, even when you look at it and talk about rules changes as far as pads are concerned, you know, how many practices you can have in pads. You know, the only way you can become a really good defensive team is to practice full speed and tackle full speed. And, you know, those days are over. And you know, it's very difficult to be a good defensive team when you can't even practice it and you play very little, you know, in preseason, and all of a sudden, you know, come into the regular season and, you know, you may have a real poor tackling defensive team, and there's no way you can work on it to try to get better. The only time you tackle is in a game.
Dan Reeves is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, of course, legendary coach. And we were talking about now, let's talk about his former team, the Denver Broncos. And what has been your overall impression so far, what they've shown you, because they are finding ways to win?
Well, that's true. And you got a quarterback that probably stuck it to none. If you had to pick one of the all-time greats, he would have to be in your top three, you know, for sure. And Peyton does a great job of being a coach on the field, gets you out of a lot of bad play situations and puts you in a good play situation. And, you know, when you're calling plays, you know, you always want to try to hope that you're putting your team in a good situation. When you have a quarterback that can change those things, you know, it gives you a chance on every single play. And Peyton does a great job with that. And then John Fox has done a really good job of putting a good coaching staff. Jack Del Rio is the defensive coordinator. You know, and they've got, you know, just a heck of a system there. John has done a great job of getting them some free agents as well as draft choices. And, you know, it's hard to stay on top, but they've made some really good decisions. You can't say enough about the gutsy call that John Elway made, you know, in signing Peyton Manning, because, there were a lot of questions of whether he's going to ever be able to play again, particularly when you're talking about a quarterback's passing arm, and, you know, it's paid huge dividends.
You know, you mentioned talking about John Elway. It's obviously so critical to have that savvy quarterback. They have that. The Broncos have that in Peyton Manning. I got to ask you, how many more years does he have left in the tank? I mean, how much longer is he going to be around?
You know, that's a difficult question because most of the quarterbacks that I've played with, the quarterbacks that I coached, you know, it gets to the point that it's not that they can't still play or couldn't still play. It's just that they don't want to pay the price you have to pay in the off season to get yourself ready to play. And people don't realize, what a grind that is. You know, in the off season when you're not going to play a game for 6 months, to have to be out there to where you're doing a great job of preparing yourself, you know, getting ready for a season. So, as long as it's fun for Peyton, I think he'll continue to play because physically he's kept himself in great shape. And, you know, as long as that offensive line holds up front and doesn't get him hit too many times, you know, he can certainly play for several more years.
Legendary Coach Dan Reeves is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Let's move ahead. Let's talk about my team, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. What were your projections for the Cowboys coming into this season? Because I think that they have exceeded expectations on many different levels, and I'm certainly encouraged. Are you?
Well, I am encouraged, but I didn't think going into the season that, they were going to be, as good as they seem to be right now. But when you look at it, they built a standing offensive line. If you look back at Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, those days, they had a tremendous offensive line. And they've done a great job of drafting some, really good offensive linemen. Now DeMarco Murray is running with the ball. That takes a lot of pressure, off of, the passing game. And that can help Tony Romo, considerably because he's not put back there where he has to throw the ball. When he doesn't want to, you come up there and, they have to play a lot of eight-man fronts to try to stop the running game, and that leaves them in some difficult situations outside, and Tony can take advantage of those things. And the offensive line is, paying huge dividends. And then defensively, they've stepped up and really have played extremely well defensively. I think this is certainly going to be one of the big tests for them coming up, but, defensively, they've done a great job.
Well, they've certainly made a statement that the Cowboys are a team that cannot be overlooked. And, of course, Dan Reeves has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We'd love to have you back on again because we do want to talk about just some of these off-field issues and how there's been a lot of criticism in the NFL right now and how they're not getting it right, but hopefully they are going to. So, Dan, thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
Okay, thanks, Alicia. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Stay close. Welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And while things continue to heat up and play out on the gridiron, right now we're going to focus our attention on some NBA, have a full court press as training camp got underway earlier this week. We will be breaking down, in fact, a number of teams. It is a pleasure to welcome back to YSR. He is the senior editor of Lindy Sports Pro Basketball Magazine, and that is Roland Lazenby. Good evening, Roland. It's nice to have you back.
Thanks, Alyssa. It's great to be back.
Well, the NBA, it is back. And, of course, it started with things, media day earlier this week, the opening of training camp, and a number of storylines that we are tracking, we're going to be looking forward to. But with you, I want to huddle up. Let's start in the East. Receiving, obviously, a lot of attention is the coverage of LeBron James's return and hooking up with Kevin Love. I mean, my question to you is, how quickly will this team gel?
Well, I think they have a lot of work to do defensively. They're going to be a very different-looking team. LeBron's lost a lot of weight. They have a European League coach.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to play somewhat similar to the San Antonio Spurs. You know, the Spurs have this multiple-action offense. They get all these things going on. They execute in the half court almost like it's a full-court offense, and they're really going at things. And LeBron lost his weight, obviously. He's not going to be running around like the Spurs Manu Ginobili, but he's going to be much more active than he's ever been before on offense.
Well, I want to back up a moment. You brought up a great point talking about, how Cleveland will be defensively. I mean, they're going to be one of the top offensive teams in a juggernaut, but how will they be on the defensive end? Yes, they have acquired Sean Marion. They've got Anderson Varejao, which certainly is going to be very nice on the inside.
Right, and of course LeBron James is probably the best defensive player in the league on most nights, and so that means they are going to be better. They'll be able to defend, but I think it's going to take time. I don't think this is an automatic. They have a coach who's never coached in the NBA before. They have young players who are coming along, and Kyrie Irving and other key figures. And so while Kevin Love is a great rebounder and a fine stretch four, he's not a great defender. So it's going to be interesting to see how they gel. We actually predict probably that the Bulls, because of their upgrades and the great defensive team has, they're going to probably come out of the East ahead of the Cavs.
Okay, so you've mentioned several times the new head coach for the Cavs in David Blatt. And I'm just wondering, you know, how long it will take him to learn the nuances of the NBA. I mean, obviously he was a EuroLeague icon, very, very successful overseas.
He's a confident man. He played for Petey Carril at Princeton.
Oh, yeah.
And Dave Blatt knows the game. I think he's got a big thing out of the way in that LeBron James has bought into playing this Euro style. Of course, LeBron James got a great lesson in that Euro style of play from the San Antonio Spurs.
Yes, indeed.
In the NBA Finals.
Hey, David Blatt, you know, I have to wonder, too, why he didn't land a job perhaps earlier in the NBA. I mean, he's 55 years of age. I mean, he's had, like I said, that huge success in Europe.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, the NBA is, like most leagues, it is a game of trends. And the trend for so long had been AAU basketball, and that is throw it to your best player and watch him either score or create shots for someone else. But Greg Popovich for years has run a different system, and in fact, system basketball, i.e. the triangle offense that Phil Jackson ran or Popovich's system in San Antonio, those teams have dominated the NBA in terms of success. So we're starting to see teams drop back from that AAU style of play to something more sophisticated.
The senior editor of Lindy's Pro Basketball Magazine, Roland Lazenby, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We don't want to get too far into the interview. Roland, tell all of our listeners across the country where they can go and get a copy of the magazine. I could not wait when it arrived in the mail. I was so excited. I was fighting with my two kids, you know, who was going to get to, you know, review it first.
It's on newsstands everywhere. You can also order it online from lindysports.com. It probably is available even on Amazon, and it's also at Barnes & Noble stores across the country.
Okay, so talk to me about, since we're in the East right now, that's where we're focusing our attention, what about Miami? The King is gone, and no doubt it was a devastating departure. Can Dwayne Wade and the Heat, can they surprise?
Well, you know, I think Chris Bosh, who really was just playing a simple stretch four when he was with LeBron. LeBron was such a big factor. Now Chris Bosh is going to be able to show more of his game. And the Heat are a fine defensive team. You know, we've actually picked them to be in the thick of it in the Eastern Conference, but the key is Dwayne Wade. He was lost during the championship series, seemed uninvolved. And if he comes back as he says he is, with full engagement and he has good health, they'll be a good team.
Well, you have to wonder, too, yeah, that's the big question mark in terms of Dwayne Wade, his health. Will he be 100%? But Chris Bosh was reduced to playing, that stretch four to help space the floor for LeBron. I see him really having a breakout year.
They've given him a big new contract. He's eager to prove he's worth it. He is a quality player and a mature, thoughtful NBA player. So I think the Heat, and they're well coached and managed. I think the Heat, they've made interesting new additions as well. And so I think the Heat are a team to keep an eye on, a team that may surprise some people.
Mm-hmm. You have to wonder, too, how much offensively the system will change as they move more now towards a team-oriented type of play instead of relying on, you know, like a LeBron.
Well, Eric Spoelstra, their coach, has long wanted to create a system. And having watched his team really get taken apart by the Spurs, he's been planning things. He's taken some of Tex Winter's triangle drills.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a new look to those Heat offensive half-court sets, and some things are going to be different there. It'll be interesting to see how they change.
You know, and I was reading in the magazine, too, I did not know this, that Eric Spoelstra, that he had traveled back in the day to Chip Kelly's football team to learn more about that offensive attack.
Yeah, you know, Eric Spoelstra is sort of viewed as, you know, the guy carrying LeBron James's luggage, but he's a hardworking coach and a bright, bright guy, and I think people are going to get a look at that.
Okay, Roland Lazenby is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. Always love to hear from you at Twitter, at eRadioSports, and we are breaking it all down. The start of the NBA season. Yes, the month of October is here. It is my favorite time of the year, and one team that I think is going to be intriguing, Roland, is the Detroit Pistons. Talk to me about Stan Van Gundy. You know, he's had a little bit of a sabbatical for the past 2 years since leaving Orlando, but what kind of team does Stan have in Detroit?
Well, you know, he has excellent bigs in the front court. He's got a team that's had a lot of low morale. They've had a lot of issues, but Stan is a tough-minded guy, a disciplinarian, and he knows how to coach. And so I think as he comes in and puts his system in play, they are going to surprise a lot of people on any given night. And he's going to be able to play a little differently because he has those front court players. It will be interesting to see if they are able to push things along and get into the playoffs. They have a chance. The Eastern Conference is a little tougher than it was.
Right, that's
true.
It was really terrible
mm-hmm. for a while.
Can Stan be successful in Detroit? I mean, because, gosh, you talk about responsibility. He's not just the head coach, the president of basketball operations. I mean, taking on both roles, you'd think that'd be overwhelming.
Well, he's worked for Pat Riley. He understands how to manage things. He's a bright man, and, you know, he doesn't have anyone else to blame. It's his show. He doesn't have to sit there and debate player acquisitions with the GM. He is the GM. He is the executive in charge. And so he's got a chance. You know, Detroit loves basketball. I used to travel with the Pistons back in the day and do their when Isaiah and Joe Dumars were winning championships.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's a great basketball town, and I think Stan has got the moxie to make it happen. He's certainly going to be very picky about the players he acquires.
Okay, we've been breaking down the East in the NBA, and Roland Lazenby has been with us tonight, the senior editor of Lindy's Pro Basketball Magazine. He's a world-class biographer, of course, the amazing book that he released, what was it, last spring, on Michael Jordan, a definitive study, and I cannot wait to hook up with you again and listen in on your next project. So we'll talk to you real soon. Thank you so much, Roland, for joining us tonight at Yahoo.
It's always fun.
That, of course, was Roland Lazenby, the senior editor with Lindy's Pro Basketball Magazine. And right now, we want to take time and thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Dan Reeves, the former head coach of the Denver Broncos. R.C. Slocum, Texas A&M great. Steve Kyler with Basketball Insiders, our weekly Under the Helmet segment with Jason Peter. And a big thank you for our special interview, exclusive one, with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and YahooSportsRadio.com.